If you're faithful and you're diligent about the Word of God, you can move the mountain. Jesus said, this faith will move the mountain.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, join Gloria Copeland for a message on increase and how prosperity is just one instrument God uses to help us reach our full potential.
Now, today we're going to talk about tithing. Let's look at Malachi 3:8. Tithing is very important. And we'll just kind of hit the high spots today, but you need to study it out. Even if you are a tither and you are tithing faithfully, you know, you need revelation on it so that you'll know how to believe and what to expect. Because you can tithe in unbelief the same way you can tithe in faith. You can, in fact, these people right here weren't pleasing God because they weren't giving God their best and they were not tithing in joy. They weren't expecting. Let's just look at verse 6. So, attitude is everything with God. It's true in every area of walking with God. If you have a bad attitude, you're doing what God called you to do, maybe. You're going there, but you're not happy about it. You've got a bad attitude about it. The blessing's not going to take hold like it should. And the same thing is true of your sowing and your giving, your tithing. You should tithe with joy. And when you know the word, you do tithe with joy because you know, hey, this is good. God is blessing me. I'm in position. When you sow, you should sow in joy. Glory to God. Amen. Because if you're not in joy, you'd have to be in unbelief. Because if you knew what the Bible says about sowing and giving and following God, the joy of the Lord would rise up within you. So it says in verse 6, we'll just hit some of the places. This is a great tithing area of the Bible. A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts. O priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised your name? You offer, verse 7, you offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? See, they were offering a sacrifice, but they were giving God the leftovers, the damaged. And so it was worse, really, than not tithing at all. It was contemptible. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, says the Lord of hosts? And then it says in verse 10, it says, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. So God doesn't even accept all the offerings. You know, it's your heart has to be in your offering. Your heart has to be in your tithing. Attitude in any area with God means everything. Attitude is everything with God. I mean, if you can't do it in joy, you're probably not going to get a reward. Amen? But when you know what the Bible says, you can do it in joy. And it says, we're going to talk a little bit about words and saying if we get to it today, so remember this scripture. He said in verse 13, you said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And you have snuffed at it, says the Lord. You have brought that which was torn and lame and sick, and thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this offering of your hand? Ken and I have learned when we give offerings, when we tithe the tithe, to make a big deal out of it, to get our thoughts upon it, to do it in faith, to do it in joy, to come before the Lord with rejoicing for the things that He has done for us. We tithe, and we go through certain things with the scripture on our tithe, and we stand, and when we tithe, we come out of that time of tithing, or if we're sowing, we come out of that with an expectancy. What is that faith? Well, when you do it on the Word of God and you see what God says, it's easy to be expectant. So I would encourage you not to, even if you do already tithe, don't just write the check, plunk it in the bucket. Or when you sow, give your offerings, don't just throw it in there. Put faith behind it. Everything to produce has to have faith behind it. If you just do it because it's legalistically the thing to do or whatever, the blessing can't come on you. But if you'll do it in faith, every offering you give this week, pray over it, release it to the Lord, believe God for the return and the harvest on that seed, and do it with cheerfulness. It's going to cost you the same $10. Whether you're sad about it or you're happy about it, it's still going to be $10 or whatever it is, $100, $1,000, $50,000, whatever it is. But when you put faith behind your offering and your tithe, it produces a harvest and a return. Hallelujah. Well, you say, I just don't believe I have to tithe. I'm not talking to you about having to tithe. I'm talking to you about getting to tithe. I'm talking to you about the Lord God Himself will receive your tithe, whether it's a dime or a dollar or $1,000,000. He'll receive your tithe and He'll cause blessing to come back on you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You tithe $100. You give Him $10. Well, you got to keep the $90. But we noticed that what we got to keep went further. We just did better. We almost instantly began to do better. When we made that commitment, God took us at our word. We made that commitment and we began to increase. Wherein shall we return? Well, here's the answer. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? The answer was in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, in Deuteronomy 26, God told them to bring the tithe to the high priest. In Deuteronomy 20, then the next chapter, he talked about the curse and the blessing. Right after that, he talked about the curse and the blessing. He says, you are cursed with a curse. He gave them, here they are about to go in the promised land. He gave them the answer to blessing, where they were, what they had at the moment, their increase, just a tithe of that, and the blessing would come on them. Well, that's just the way God works. That's the way the tithe works. He said, bring you are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. God says you can prove it. You can prove it. You can prove Him out in this matter. Prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And that portion in the Hebrew of pour you out a blessing in the margin of my Bible says empty out. If I will not open the windows of heaven and empty out a blessing, I want to be connected with the windows of heaven. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that God saying, I'll empty out the windows of heaven on you. You know, Ken and I, we just had a little dab of money. I mean, we just had a little dab of money, so our tithe wasn't big. But this scripture took effect, and we began to increase. Glory to God. Oh, I tell you, it's a privilege for God to receive our tithe. Prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Or you could say, I will open the windows of heaven and empty out a blessing upon you. There's not any limit. God can afford you. I don't care if your tithe is $100 million a day. He can empty out from the windows of heaven tremendous increase upon that tithe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, you got, if you know what the Bible says, you get excited. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord. And all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land. Then the Lord said to them, your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Words are important. We're going to talk about words if we get to it today. But words are important. Here's what he said. Your words are stout against me. Now listen to an example of this. They said, well, what have we spoken so much against you? His answer was, you have said it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Our observation, the Hebrew says, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. They that tempt God are even delivered. Don't ever talk like this. This is what the Lord said about it. Then they that feared the Lord, that's the group that was in unbelief, had no fear of God, and they murmured. Remember in Deuteronomy, it said the Lord heard them murmur in their tents. It was just such talk as this that was going on when God heard them murmur in their tents. Now, pastor and non-pastors, ministers and non-ministers, the Lord hears you when you talk. Wives, the Lord hears you when you talk. When you go to church, you preach this magnificent sermon on tithing, sowing, the hundredfold return, and you come home in your bed at night and you say, I don't know why it's not working for us. That's the kind of talk that was going on in those tents and right here. Or what are we going to do? How are we going to pay that bill? How are we going to do this? How are we going to build that new building? How are we going to buy the car that we have to have? And then in front of the friends, the church, you talk a good game. But you know what counts? It's talk that comes out of your heart that counts. If it's not in your heart, you can say it all day long and your words won't have any power. It's what you believe. You receive and then you say it out your mouth and you say it out your mouth and you say it out your mouth. That word has power. And when you know you're in bed at night and just you and your wife and you just are worried, concerned. We should never be worried. We should never be concerned. We should be walking in faith. But you talk doubt and unbelief, and then you go to church Wednesday night, and you talk to the congregation what they ought to do. You ought to do what they ought to do. We all ought to do what the Bible says to do. And should you find yourself in that position of doubt and unbelief, what do? You just repent right there and say, God, forgive me for that. I rebuke those sorry words. That's not what I believe. I'm a sower. I'm a giver. I'm a believer. I believe you're my answer. And just wipe it out in Jesus' name. Don't let words like that stay in the air. If you happen to speak those things, take them down. And when you do it, when you rebuke those words, you just see it as those words coming down. Because our words come out of our heart. And it's our faith speaking. And those words, when nobody else hears, count. Because God hears and He's the one that's important. Oh, well, Gloria, that's too hard. Well, if you're not faithful and diligent, you're not going to make it. But if you're faithful and you're diligent about the Word of God, you can move the mountain. Jesus said, this faith will move the mountain. You can move a mountain of debt. You can move the mountain of sickness. Glory to God. Addictions. I don't care what it is. If you'll trust God and you'll walk by faith and not by sight, it will happen. Now, he said, you bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there be meat in my house, and prove me now. We can walk this out. You can prove him. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and empty out a blessing upon you. Empty out heaven if it takes it. Although you can't do that. Pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground or the fruits of your life or your blessing. And neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. But he said, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord? That is what we would call a bad confession. When we learned to walk by faith, we knew what a bad confession was. It was anything that said we didn't have what we believe we received when we prayed. What do you do when you make a bad confession? You repent. You say the right thing. You take that down with your words of your mouth. I repent of that. I rebuke that, and I command it to fall to the ground. That's not what I believe. That's not what's going to happen. And you reinforce what you're believing from the Word of God. That's the way we want to be. We want to be like verse 16. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. See, it's so important what you say. Glory to God. And what you believe in your heart. And Jesus told us that what we believe in our heart would come out our mouth. So it's a matter of putting the Word of God in your eyes, in your ears, and getting it into your heart according to Scripture, and it will come out your mouth. And you can retrain your vocabulary. You can be the most negative person, but if you'll put the Word of God in your eyes, in your ears, so that it gets down in here in abundance. This is Jesus' plan. This is what he said. You get it down there in abundance. And then out of that abundance of your heart comes the right words for your deliverance. That's the way it works. Well, you say, I don't like it that way. That's the only way it works. It doesn't matter whether you like it, whether you don't. If you want to get delivered, that's the way you get delivered. That's the way you stay delivered. Amen? So you just have to be smart enough to know that God knows more than you do. And you just learn how to do things his way, and I'm telling you, the crooked places will begin to be made straight. Hallelujah. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance. I want in this book. A book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And the Lord said in verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord. That gives me goosebumps. The Lord said I could be his if I chose to speak right words before him, if I chose to believe him and to honor him with my actions and my words and walk in reverence of what he says, I can be his. It's just my decision. Do I want to be his? Absolutely. Because I remember what it was like before I gave him place in my life. They shall be mine, says the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then shall you return and discern between the wicked and the righteous, or the righteous and the wicked. And him that serveth God, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I'm going to be one that serveth God. I have the power, I have the authority to make that decision, and I've made that decision, And that's the way it's going to be. Amen? That's my place. You have to make a decision. Are you going to believe the Word of God and do what it says? Or are you going to keep being robbed and undone and sick and all the things that come under the curse? No, I'm going to be a tither. And actually, you know, now that the curse, we've been redeemed from the curse, the blessing of tithing should work more powerfully than even it did in the old covenant. Because sin's been dealt with permanently. I'm not a sinner anymore. I am born again. We all were sinners, but some of us got born again. And some of us just learned about what God said in the Word, and we decided we were going to be obedient. Hallelujah. I decided that. We decided. Ken and I decided. We are going to do what the Bible says. Now, that doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that out. We're just going to do what the Bible says. That's all you have to do to walk in victory, except then you've got to find out what it says. You can't just say that and stay ignorant. You've got to put that Word in your eyes and in your ears, and then it works for you. Hallelujah. How do I know? Because we've been doing this for over 40 years. God has blessed us. He's increased us. We started out minus about $26,000 because we owed about that much when we got married, when I married Kenneth. And I was so dumb. You know, it's a good thing that I didn't know anything because I didn't even say, do you owe any money? Or anything. Do you have any money? I didn't ask him that. I could have guessed that he didn't have any because of what he came to get me in. And I still wasn't moved by what I saw. But I didn't know anything different, you know. You should have seen that car. It was a green and yellow old Chevrolet. I don't remember what it was, what year it was. 54 maybe, I don't know. The headliner was hanging down. Yeah, oh, it was awful. And I just went... I mean, I didn't even get a hint. It didn't even make a dent in me. Because I came from poverty myself. So I wasn't expecting all that much. But God is good. Our headliners don't hang down anymore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you'll just continue. You can continue to increase and increase and increase.
Get up! Get up! Get up and declare my word, saith the Lord. For your victory is at hand in greater measure than ever before. Not because of greater work and labor on your part, but because of your faith in the blessing, and your inheritance is at hand. Rise up and head through the door. This is the hour of your victory. You will not fail it.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
When you bring your tithes and offerings, bring them in faith. Your heart needs to be behind that and into that. You know, my dad says, don't watch your offering disappear into the back room with the ushers. No, give it to the Lord. We're not even giving to your church when you put an offering into your church. But give it to the Lord, and it will produce a harvest and a return when that's your motive behind it. God's got a plan. He wants to open the windows of heaven and pour them out on you. But you've got to believe the Word of God. He says He wants to bless you. If you know He wants to bless you and you believe it, it's not hard to give to Him. When you love Him and you know He's got a good plan for you, it's not hard to give Him your offering and your tithe. Today's offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. So we want to give you that opportunity to give into this ministry. And as you bring that and you hold that before the Lord, just give it. The Bible says don't give out of compulsion. Don't give out of necessity or tradition. We don't want you to give to us because, you know, we're going off the air if you don't. It's not like that. The Lord is our source. But we can give you good ground to sow into. If the Lord's telling you to give here and send in an offering, then just hold it up before the Lord and say, I worship you, Lord, today with this. I give you my offering. I give you my life, Lord. And I thank you for a good harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. And the harvest is coming to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your support. If you're a partner with this ministry, I just want to say thank you. We love you so much. Hey, go to church this weekend. If you don't have a church or if you're in the Fort Worth area, come and visit Eagle Mountain International Church. We have a good time out here. And if you don't have a church home and you don't know where to go, you can listen to Eagle Mountain Church Services online, emic.org. Be sure to join us next week. The Word is so rich that we've got for you, so don't miss out on it. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
This is the Year of the Open Door, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. For more information on this broadcast, today's product offer, or other ministry tools and resources, visit our website at kcm.org. You may also call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry, we believe for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through the open door of the blessing this year. One aspect of our prayer department is our outbound phone ministry. Kenneth Copeland Ministries makes over 2,000 calls each week to people who have requested prayer by phone, email, or letter. We also call during times of disaster. At KCM, we know the importance of prayer and the power of agreement.
I came home, and there was a message from Mr. Sam Galloway, and it was just an anointed message. He had an anointing for me, and it was, good morning, this is Sam from KCM. And he was upbeat and full of the Word, and it was the voice of God coming on this answer machine. It was wonderful. And he told me he was standing on Psalm 91 for Walt's safety. And I listened to that message every day.
When you're over there in Iraq, most people may think that soldiers think about the war, but I can tell you that mostly what we think about is our families back home and what's going on with them. So when we heard the support that she was getting from KCM, it was really a great blessing, big load off my shoulders, knowing that she was talking to you guys back here.
Together, we're making a difference.